The Bitcoin Radio Show, Saturdays from 8 to 9 a.m.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm gonna make her mine, all mine. Hey, hey, baby, I wanna know if you'll be my girl.
Oh yeah, good old Bruce Chanel. Why do I remember Bruce Chanel? That's the only song he made that was popular that I can think of. But it was a big hit back in the early 60s. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works. The Paul Molloy Show. I was a big hit back in the early 60s, for goodness sake. Welcome to our program, Freedom Works, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you. Thank you for taking a little time to listen to us. It's Wednesday, March the 29th. My goodness. Boy, this year is moving along, is it not? We will be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, a buddy of ours. We're going to talk about our federal debt and the cost of paying the interest alone on that debt. It's going to scare you. But we got to talk about this because we got to do something about it. So stay tuned for that in a few minutes. And in San Francisco, talk about throwing money around. They want to give $5 million to every black resident, every one, every single one of them. But they have no idea where the money will come from when asked about it. We're going to look at that. Is there any chance? You know that it's going on currently in a town near where I used to live at, Evanston, Illinois.
Is that the reparations bill that they're talking about?
It's a reparations bill.
In other words,
that San Francisco wants to push. $5 million for every black resident.
For past crimes that white people made or something?
Yeah, for slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about that as well. And a Supreme Court ruling, which could upend everything, I mean everything, about climate change lawsuits. We're going to take a look at that as well. Most people don't know about this. I think this will be interesting. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 most watched television programs the last 2 years. This comes from Variety Magazine. That's a big time Hollywood magazine. So stay tuned for that as well. So lots to do. We're so delighted to be back. Gosh, there's been so much that's been going on. You know, I hate to bring this up. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but obviously what is dominating the news right now is that school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
In Nashville, and I look at headlines, and everybody goes to their established political positions.
Exactly.
Okay? You've got the people that now say, here we go again with guns. We need to outlaw all mm-hmm. kinds of guns. And they'll go over to their corner. Then there's another group that says, this is again proves that we need more security in schools. And if we had had more security in that particular school, maybe this person wouldn't even got as far as a classroom to start shooting at kids. And then you got others that want to pipe in about the mental acuity of the people that are doing these kinds of shootings. And then you got a group that says, you know, we are overstating the fear of these kinds of things in schools, when in every major city in our country, there are people being killed every day with guns, that we hardly ever talk about in the poor black neighborhoods where they got all kinds of gun rules that are going on. The obvious example is Chicago. They got more gun laws in Chicago than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And yet they have more people killed on the south and west sides of Chicago than any other city. I mean, it's not the largest city, but it's got the most killings.
I saw somebody write something that said along the lines that about the shooting, school shooting, that it frightens me. This person is saying it frightens me now that Florida is looking to do a change their gun laws to where you can carry. And that scares me. But I think it's the other way around. If there had been a parent there that was carrying, it might have been over quicker.
Yeah.
Why do we not blame the person that does it anymore?
Exactly.
If this person really wants to kill people and guns are not available, they'll find a way. Look what Timothy McVeigh did.
Well, first of all, they'll find a gun.
I know.
Guns will never be not available.
Exactly. Whether you go through the laws.
We can talk about getting rid of guns. That's never going to happen. And people that want to kill somebody else, they'll find a way to kill them.
Right.
Mainly with a gun, probably.
Well, like I said, look what Timothy McVeigh did. He backed up a truck with fertilizer.
Yes, he did.
Are we going to start banning fertilizer?
Of course. Of course. Now, I can I understand when people say yes, but fertilizer is not made or cars are not made to kill people. That's an offshoot. You know, somebody is taking something that is designed for something else and using it to kill people, whereas a gun is specifically made to shoot something. And so there's a legitimate argument. But I would go back to this. Our country was founded on some principles that are at the top of the totem pole as far as they were concerned. The Second Amendment, the second, not the 16th, not the 9th, not the 14th, the Second Amendment talks about the right of people to carry arms for, as they said at that time, because there is the need to have a free militia, I'm trying to interpret, the right to bear arms by the people shall not be infringed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it says it very clearly, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. It comes right after the right to speech, freedom of speech and the press and assembly. It's the right to bear arms. So are we going to go and take a fundamental right away from our country? It helped establish our country. So I find that argument when people never be able to ban something. You can't put the genie back in the bottle anyway.
People don't buy guns. Not everybody buys a gun to commit a crime.
Of course not.
People buy guns 99%. To defend themselves.
Exactly. Or they might buy it for target practice or hunting. But you're right. It's a very small percentage of people that are going out to purchase a gun to kill somebody else.
And should there be security in schools? I'm the believer that there should be some form. By God, we can find money for stupid reasons for other things. Find the money to do it. Now, this was a private school, though. Would it have fallen under that jurisdiction? And why don't private schools who charge kids to be there have security?
Yeah. And that's a very good question. First of all, they do have, as a private school, the right to defend or set up as they deem fit. And whether or not, and I don't know enough about, it seemed to me that the woman that did this, by the way, is this a biological woman?
No, I was just going to bring that up because when this happens, and God forbid it is a white male that may have supported Trump, would have been a MAGA supporter, Trumpster, crazy white supremacist. Now, I just for laughs and giggles, I wanted to say something else and almost did. I flipped over to MSNBC, whatever it is, and they did not describe that this was a transgender woman. In other words, woman to be man. I believe we're...
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
I think it's a biological woman.
Because the sheriff had to pause and ask because...
Is it a biological woman?
I believe so. I believe so, that was going as a man.
It doesn't make any difference, of course, because they were doing. But
they did not want to bring that up.
No,
they did not bring that up.
Right.
They just...
Well, this is going again to the person and the cause of the killing, as opposed to an inanimate object, which is a gun, that has to be used by a person with an issue. It's always people with an issue that are going to go after people.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna take our break because we need to get our buddy Chris Edwards on. So let's do this. This is something it's going to be talked about for a while now. It's a big issue. But we will take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the cost, the interest on the money that we are borrowing here in the United States, and how that alone is a huge problem.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. We're so delighted to be here. Of course, we're delighted to be anywhere, but we're also delighted to have our friend Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute join us. He is a fiscal policy and tax expert at Cato. He is also the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. I recommend that to you as well. And he has written a piece about federal interest costs. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
It's always a pleasure. You're a very interesting person to talk with, very knowledgeable. And you've decided to take up this issue of the actual interest that we are paying on this huge debt, which is what? It's approaching $32 trillion. Our debt, and you mentioned this at the top of your story, our debt held by the public will hit 107% of our gross domestic product. That's everything we produce.
It's insane. A lot of people may know, like a lot of your listeners may know, that the federal debt is around over $30 trillion now. But the rubber really hits the road here in how much that is costing us every year in terms of interest payments. So this year, federal interest payments will be $640 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
That's up from just $350 billion just 2 years ago because interest rates are rising from near zero up to around 4% now. So it's costing the government a lot more every year to finance this. It's got to roll over this debt, and then it's got to go out and find another $1 or $2 trillion every year to borrow. So this burden lands on taxpayers ultimately. And I note in my new piece at Cato that we're in a unique situation where our debt was as high as it is now relative to the economy back in World War II. But back then, the government was able to borrow very cheaply. Today, interest rates are much higher. So the actual burden of the government debt is twice as high as it was in its previous peak in World War II. So we're in an unprecedented, dangerous situation now with federal government finances.
Now, you hear people talking about it, especially on the Republican side. But I wonder, are Republicans any more concerned than Democrats, really, about trying to bring down the cost of government and this debt, we talk about it. It's, I mean, it's ballooned. If I remember right, when Barack Obama took office, he doubled, or the federal debt doubled from about $10 trillion to $20 trillion. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But it was something like $20 trillion when he left office. We're almost up. We're at $32 trillion now since Obama. So we added another $12 trillion to our debt. It doesn't sound... go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's completely unbelievable. I mean, there are a few Republican members of Congress. I mean, I think, for example, Senator Ron Johnson has been talking about this problem for years, Tom Massey and some other Freedom Caucus folks in the House, but it's a very small group of them. Most Republican members of Congress want to spend more money, just like most Democratic members of Congress. And that's why the budget has risen from $4.4 trillion in 2019 to $6.2 trillion this year. So it's up 40% in just 4 years. Even though the COVID crisis is over. And, you know, the Biden administration is just spending like gangbusters, of course. But I blame the Trump administration for a lot of the spending, too. Trump had a lot of good cabinet secretaries who did try to reform government. But Trump himself was a very big spender. Not just that, you know, he agreed to excess packages on COVID spending. He was the one that pushed trillion-dollar infrastructure spending packages. So, you know, he was a big spender.
Right.
And then, the current administration kind of just built on that. And so spending has ballooned here. And we just can't afford it anymore. And it's going to cause an economic crisis in this country. And most members of Congress just have their heads stuck in the ground.
Yeah, well, they do. Now, in your piece, you talk a little bit about the history of interest rates. And you go back actually into the 1700s. I think you write between like 1790 and just prior to the Civil War, interest costs declined as we paid down the war debt, the Revolutionary War debt, and then we had that War of 1812. I mean, we were, at least back then, we were fiscally responsible.
That's right. So yeah. The first 150 years or so, there was a bit, you know, the federal government has never had a requirement to balance its budget. So it's always been able to borrow, but there was always a strong sort of view based on morality as well as economics that government debt was bad and ought to be minimized. So the federal government borrowed for wars. Then as soon as the wars were over, it promptly tried to repay the debt. And you see that pattern after the Revolutionary War, after the War of 1812, after the Civil War. I mean, the federal government debt spiked during the Civil War, but then there was an extraordinary period in the late 19th century of about three decades. The federal government ran surpluses about three decades in a row to pay down the debt. And so, you know, going into, then debt spiked in World War One. But then during the 1920s, President Calvin Coolidge, very fiscally conservative, you know, he started paying down the debt again. Things really sort of, that long-term trend broke, unfortunately, in the 1930s with all the New Deal spending. Spending spiked during the mid-20th century. Lyndon Johnson was a massive big spender. It started this modern really bad habit of running deficits year after year after year, and the debt started accumulating.
Yeah, in fact, you just answered a question I was about to ask you, which was, when did our federal government wake up one day and go, you know what, we can be spending all kinds of money because there's really technically no legal limit if we want to borrow it? And I guess when you mention possibly the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration and the New Deal after Coolidge and Hoover, who were more fiscally responsible, it's sort of like a socialistic philosophy that really took hold at that point?
I think two things happened in the 1930s. One was the invention of entitlement programs. Social Security was passed in 1935. So-called entitlement programs, The government puts the law in place and starts dishing out the benefits, but there's no limit on the benefits. The benefits just sort of grow automatically year after year, so politicians can sort of wash their hands of it. They say, "Oh, I can't control. We can't control it. It just grows automatically." So now we have all these programs like Social Security, Medicare that just grow rapidly and automatically. So that's one thing that started in the 1930s. But then the other one was the rise of Keynesian economics. Before the 1930s, policymakers and the general public in America thought that debt was bad. They thought that it was, bad for the economy. They thought it was immoral for the government to go into debt and run deficits, and they were right. Unfortunately, in the 1930s, the rise of this Keynesian idea that government deficit spending was good, and government spending is always good. Government spending helps the economy. Deficits are okay. That view rose in the 1930s, and we're still dealing with it today.
Yeah.
Just about every article you read in the news about government spending programs, whether it's Social Security or food stamps or whatever, they always frame it as if the spending is good for the economy.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? It's not. It's not. There's a lot of spending programs create a lot of damage. One of the major bits of the damage is it pushes all this cost onto young people in the future, which is this $30 trillion we talked about in debt is a cost that is pushed on the young people in the future. It's completely unfair and bad economics.
Yeah. We're talking with Chris Edwards, who is a fiscal policy and tax expert at the Cato Institute. He's also the editor of DownsizingGovernment.org. He's big on it. We are, too, on figuring out a way to make the government come to its senses. You know, Chris, we had Ronald Reagan pop up in the early, in 1980, and he kept talking about the cost of government and how government is the problem and not the solution. We did indeed try to lower taxes. During that period of time, we got more income into the federal government than we had for quite a while, on the theory that if you lowered taxes and you actually had people keeping their money and investing it and doing this, that, and the other thing, rather than sending it to the federal government, it actually employs more people because you're spending it out in the free market, employing other people that way. And everybody, these additional people are paying into, paying taxes on it. And that idea, I think, is a valid one. But we don't seem to want to, what's the word, relax the tax structure on people.
Yeah, my take on Reagan is that you can look his first year in office. 81, he passed his big tax cut, which was generally moved in the right direction. But he also passed a major spending cut. The
yes.
only major spending cut in his eight-year tenure was passed in the fall of 1981. They cut a lot. They cut a lot of stuff across the board. They consolidated a lot of programs. They cut a lot of the excess subsidies to state governments and that sort of stuff. So that was good. The problem was they didn't follow through in later years.
Right.
And later efforts at reform, like, for example, Reagan proposed major reforms for farm subsidies. But, the farmers kind of rebelled, and that idea was shelved. Reagan had ideas for privatizing a lot of the land. The federal government owns about a third or so of the land out west. Reagan wanted to privatize some of that. There's opposition, so that reform plan was shelved.
Right.
So, unfortunately, Reagan was a great guy. His heart was in the right place. He wanted to reform the government, but he often backpedaled on some of his major reform plans.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And he was big in spending for the military. That was another thing. The thing is, of course, that we have lost, as you, I'm sure, would agree. We have lost the focus on what our federal government's job really is. We have, if you go back to the Constitution and look at it, our federal government's job is basically to get the hell out of the way of the free market and just protect our borders.
The main I think the main thing that has corrupted good governance in America over the last century is that the federal government has expanded into hundreds and hundreds of areas that are properly the responsibility of state and local right. governments and the private sector. So exactly. there are over 1,000 federal subsidy programs for state governments, for education, for housing, and that sort of stuff that is properly a state and local responsibility. You know, these members of Congress, they get elected to the federal Congress, and they want to, you know, fill potholes in their local neighborhoods. They want to fund their local schools in the cities they come from. Well, that makes no sense. They want to run for elected office. They should be mayor of the city. They shouldn't go to Washington, where the focus is supposed to be on, you know, foreign policy and national defense and truly national issues. So, I don't see any advantage in all the centralization of power and spending in Washington. I think it's a terrible mistake, and it undermines good governance. So the first thing I would do in D.C. to reform the government is to get the federal government the heck out of properly state and local activities.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The trick is to figure out a way to put the genie back in the bottle. Also, like when you mentioned the farm subsidies and Social Security, once you give people stuff from the, you know, once you feed them these kinds of things, their voracious appetite continues to want you to feed them that, and they don't want you to stop. And that's part of the problem as well. It's always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you so very much for being with us this morning. And I know we'll be talking. Yeah, we'll be talking again soon, my friend. All right.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. We could talk forever on some of that stuff. We're going to take our break, however. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on, and speaking about throwing money away in San Francisco, they want to give $5 million to every black resident with no idea on how to pay for it.
She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. And hey, by the way, Ed, I haven't heard anything about this grand jury indicting Trump yet. What are they doing? I'm beginning to think this thing's not going to occur.
Well, like everything else, it just goes away.
You think this whole thing will float away?
The impeachment. Goes away.
It's just a much ado about nothing. All fury, sound and fury signifying nothing. You ever hear that one? It's all sound and fury.
I just wish these people would be held accountable for. I mean, because if somebody sues you and you prove that there was no bearing, you could turn counter sue for your attorney's fees mm-hmm. and stuff. Why isn't he doing? Can he not do the same thing?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just, oh, well, you know, it didn't work out, you know. Meanwhile, you've wasted how much taxpayer money? Seriously?
Yeah, I agree.
And this is purely just a witch hunt. I mean, it's actually, it's a civil payment is what
Everybody knows it too.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely. That's the problem. I think it got. I think too much of it leaked out. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, I think you may be right. All right, so on to the wonderful city of San Francisco. At least it used to be wonderful. Now, when I think of San Francisco, I think of boxes with people living in them on the street, on the sidewalk. That's very sad.
That's on one of my lists. Somebody came up to me today and said, "You've won an all-expense round trip to San Francisco. I'd pass."
Yeah. I'm afraid you're right. Well, reparation advocates, and one in particular, her name is Robin Rue Simmons. She went on CNN the other day and says, well, she does not know how San Francisco will do it, but black people need to get $5 million each in reparations. And she looks to the city of Evanston, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, just north of Chicago, where they actually did award reparations to black residents. I don't know exactly how that is going. They're giving them, rather than like direct payments, they're giving them grants, as an example, grants of up to $25,000 for a down payment on a new house, or renovations, or mortgage assistance. You know, that's kind of how they're doing it, rather than just sending out checks. But so here's the deal. Once you start trying to figure out who's supposed to be able to get this money and who's not,
yeah,
you're running into a beehive.
What do you do? Call them into the yard and check their skin color?
And what about somebody that's half black and half something else?
Ugh.
How do you do that? I mean, this is just such a...
What's the age cutoff?
I don't know that there is one. I'm sure there must be. I think there must be, but they haven't thought this thing through.
Because it's ridiculous.
Here's what she said when asked, this woman, Robin Rue Simmons, about, well, how are you going to pay for this? Quote, I don't know. And so those are the challenges that we all have as municipalities.
Sounds like a challenge. Sounds like our next congresswoman.
First of all, they're in big debt in California. They're in big debt in San Francisco. They don't have any money. What are they going to do?
Is this woman running for something, or, you know?
I don't know. She's probably, let's see here. She's a reparations advocate.
She have a book out.
Yeah, I don't know. She's maybe well known in San Francisco. Oh, here it is. She's a former alderwoman turned political activist. Yeah, let's see. So, she goes on to say, it's one thing to identify a harm and prescribe a remedy. She said, in the case of Evanston, Illinois, we have been led to understand and appreciate that home rule taxes are our most visible way to fund reparations, being that they're within our purview. Well, they don't have the money. They can't tax every resident and come up with $5 million for every black person that lives there. Are you kidding?
Isn't this
where does she come up with this mathematics?
Isn't this the same city that wants to pay homeless people?
Which one, San Francisco or Evanston?
I thought it was San Francisco.
San Francisco, that's what we're talking about.
I know, but they want to pay homeless
people
$1,000 a month.
Oh, I'm sorry, homeless people rather than just black people. Yeah,
they also.
I think so. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're just throwing crap up in the air.
This is the same.
There's no way they're going to be able to afford it.
Defunded their police.
Why do they waste their time? Why do they get the hopes up of certain people that they're going to get a check?
CVS pulled all their stores.
And by the way, isn't that a great way to incite, motivate people to work? I don't think so. If I was told I was going to get a check for $5 million, do you think I'm going to look for a job, work harder?
I'll tell you what. I think, you know, pandemic and everything, I think those payments probably set this country back work-wise years. Because we'd never seen that before.
I agree.
We'd never seen that before. Free money.
Yeah, I don't think the federal government had any business sending out checks to people.
It got some of the younger folk liking it.
Of course. Look how many people pulled away from doing things while they had that money. They would have been, if they didn't have that money, you know that they would have been working harder towards continuing to work, finding a job, doing all of the kinds of things that we really need done to keep our country moving in the right direction. When you start sending out money and checks to people.
And those jobs that you talk about, we've all done them. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, I was a bag boy at Winn-Dixie at 17, 18 years old. You got any job you could find? I got fired from it, but I...
How can you get fired from being a bag boy?
I didn't
Did you get upset
work well with the third manager, and I decided to take my services elsewhere.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what? The greatest people in the world have been fired from jobs.
I found that you can't call a manager a four-letter word. They tend to take it personally.
They do, don't they? Yeah. Well, that happens. Well, but exactly. I mean, it just keeps you from wanting to make an effort in your life. So I guess enough about this nonsense. They're not going to get
ridiculous.
It. First of all, they're not going to get it.
It just makes
they don't have the money to do it.
Why do we not get these people in front of some sort of like a town meeting sort of thing and let people know how stupid you really are?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, instead of talking to your posse that you've got in your office or your the floor of your job or whatever, they're all backed behind you thinking you're the greatest thing on earth. Get out with the real people in the real world
right. And
bring your stupid ideas.
You know who's not backing it? The governor of California is not backing it. You know why? And he's a Democrat and a liberal one, too. Because he's going to run for president. And he knows that would be a losing issue if he was connected to reparations, to black reparations.
Well, you know he's going to run.
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That's why he's not saying anything about this and getting behind.
Yeah, you notice he's gotten kind of quiet.
He has been.
He's kind of let the foam... You know, subside.
Yes.
Yes. Stirring it up.
Mm-hmm. So, the GOP, the Republican leaders of two House panels investigating the Biden administration over their fossil fuel leasing practices. They're looking into what's behind the shutdown and or the opening of certain areas in the energy world. James Comer, a Republican from Kentucky, and Bruce Westerman, a Republican from Arkansas, are involved in taking a look at these leasing practices. They have sent a letter to Biden, and they want people to show up and testify as to what is going on. What is the philosophy? The letter blasted the Department of the Interior's continued oil and gas leasing delays, among other things. And here's part of what they say. The Biden administration has obstructed America's energy producers in an effort to force a radical Green New Deal agenda on the American people. The Democrats' ongoing war against America's oil and gas industry has only driven energy prices higher, and families across the country are paying the price. Now, even the Biden administration is coming to realize that they've got to release and make easier the drilling for gasoline in certain areas, specifically up there in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess the far left portion of the Democratic Party is dead set against it and trying to pull Biden completely that way.
Well, they're pushing electric everything.
And they're pushing electric.
Everything.
You can't even do, you know, it's funny, not to interrupt, but electric... Even the basic of being able to create these batteries. You've got the lithium, and
yes.
You know that.
Yeah, well, first off, when you see all these ads on TV about electric cars, right at the end, freeze it and read the fine print in the bottom. It says that this this model will not be available till late 2024, which does us no good today. And then you can afford it. Now, you brought up batteries because this is what scares me, Paul. We are using so many batteries today. I mean, it used to be, hey, throw your double A's in the tub there so we can get rid of them. Or you had to bring your battery from your car back in exchange for, it was a core charge.
Right.
Think of the batteries we're using today, Paul. There are no more gas-operated lawnmowers, weed whackers, edgers. They're all batteries.
True.
All those damn bicycles and scooter things that are on the roads today, they're all batteries.
Yeah.
And they're cheap batteries because they come from China. They're cheap.
That's right.
And they only
China's
last a year. Where are we disposing all these batteries? Where's the campaign to keep us green and say, hey, here's your local battery dump off? Are we just throwing? Of course, we're just throwing them in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another thing. Speaking, I wanted to mention about all that is fertilizer. You know, fertilizer for growing things mm-hmm. around the world. Mm-hmm. If we cut back on the oil and gas, and they start to stop it around the world, the fertilizer industry, having fertilizer, it you know, petroleum is a part of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
We would have a major problem in feeding people of the world. We don't think about these things, do we? We never think about these things when we talk about trying to go green. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we are going to tell you about the Supreme Court ruling that could upend everything, speaking about climate change, everything about climate change lawsuits.
I'm going to raise a fuss, I'm going to raise a holler. About a working all summer just to try to earn a dollar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works for a Wednesday. By the way, we are here 10 to 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we hope you can listen to us live, but if you cannot, just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, freedomworks.com. And thanks to Ed, all our shows are on tape. Go to the top of the website, and you'll see a podcast. Click on that. Ed's got all our shows. Yes, he does. And it goes back quite a while. And you can click on a show. You'll know who the guest is that we have and the topic with the guest, where the guest is from, and our top 10. What more could you want? And then when you got to stop going to the bathroom or something, put it on pause, come back later and listen to it. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so the Supreme Court is involved in a ruling that might upend everything about climate change lawsuits. Federal courts of appeals apparently cannot agree whether climate change lawsuits are governed by state or federal laws. State or federal laws. Some federal courts have concluded that they should proceed in state courts. And some believe that they should go on into the federal court. So what does that mean? When you have a disagreement like that, it means that you're going to call in the Supreme Court ultimately to decide about these things. For over a century, the Supreme Court has held that lawsuits over air and water pollution that cross state lines must be decided under federal law, because no one state can decide for another state what to do about pollution, right? When it's crossing from their state into another state. This means that overreaching states and cities cannot impose their environmental agendas on neighboring states. The court unanimously extended this principle in a suit, I guess it was American Electric Power versus Connecticut. Now, that case in 2011 involved federal law claims by eight states and the city of New York and others to compel certain power companies to abate their greenhouse gas emissions. In an opinion by, at that time, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the court decided that applying federal law was appropriate and then agreed with the Obama administration that those claims could not proceed in court at all because Congress has delegated the regulation of greenhouse gas emissions to the EPA. To the EPA. So now it's the EPA that apparently, according to that decision in the Supreme Court, that will have the final word when it comes to those kinds of things. Let's see here. Dissatisfied with some of these things, progressive states and cities have since changed tactics in their litigation against energy companies. In recent years, they have launched a new frenzy of lawsuits demanding billions of dollars for damages allegedly related to past, present, and future climate change. Note I said past, present, and future, as in pay us now for what you're going to do to us bad later. But this time, instead of relying on federal law, they have tried to invoke state law. State law. The bottom line is that the Supreme Court is going to be reviewing some of these cases to decide just how we are going to continue to go about these lawsuits that are coming when it involves more than one state, and how exactly and where exactly these decisions will end up coming from. It gets very complicated, but this kind of a ruling will be very, very important. And there's three of these cases that are now before the Supreme Court. One is Delaware versus BP Oil Company. There's one Chevron versus San Mateo County, California. And another one, Suncor Energy versus the Board of County Commissioners of Boulder County, Colorado. So all of those eventually are going to wind up on the Supreme Court's dock, I guess. And they're going to have to decide. And it's going to be pretty interesting. All right. Well, it is time for our top 10, Ed. But before we get to that, we haven't talked any. When is the baseball season opening up?
I believe it's tomorrow, isn't it? Thursday?
Is it?
That's what
I was going to ask you. The regular season?
Yes.
Wow. What about, just in a nutshell, what do you think our chances of our beloved Tampa Bay Rays are this year?
You know,
do we have any chance of being good?
Here's the thing. It's pretty consistent every year that we don't know what we have because, you know, we can't afford the higher-end players. So we're always bringing new guys up that on the cheap. But
remember, it's worked out.
You remember in years past, we've laughed at the $200 million payrolls.
Yes, we have.
Well, that's old-fashioned now. Do you know that there is a couple at $300 million?
Oh, I believe it. Sure. Yeah.
The Mets are at $300 million?
Yeah, New York teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it entirely.
That is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Has there been a falling off in viewership of baseball games, in your opinion, or have they maintained?
I think it's stagnant. I don't think there's any huge excitement.
It's just kind of stayed at a certain level.
With the payroll going up, it can't be paying the bills.
I'm just wondering about that. That's why I was asking you. All right. Thank you, sir. It's time for our top 10. If you'll get over to the drums. You like being on the drums. These are the top 10 most watched TV shows. Actually, Variety Magazine, you know, it's a big Hollywood magazine, mm-hmm. you know. They came up with these top 10 for the last 2 years, 21 and 22. So here we go. Without further ado, top 10 most watched TV shows. Number 10 was 60 Minutes. That's been around for a coon's age, 60 mm-hmm. Minutes. The average number of people watching 60 Minutes during that period, 9.38 million people. All right. Number 9. Do you remember The Equalizer?
Yes.
That's number 9. Really? I can't remember what that was. What was it?
Queen Latifah, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You're right. CBS program. 9.45 million people. All right. Number 8. Blue Bloods. That's a TV series.
Yeah, that's with Tom Selleck, the old Magnum PI guy. Yeah.
Yes, 9.78 million for him.
And Wahlberg is in that, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, number 7. Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. NBC show. Yeah, I've heard of that. 9.92 million. Number 6. FBI. Hmm. It's always these crime shows, you know? Yeah. FBI, 10.35 million. Number 5. NCIS.
God.
What's that show?
That's another one of the investigative.
Yeah. Okay. 11 million.
Criminal investigations.
Right. That's right. Number 4. Ha ha! Monday Night Football is number 4.
Really?
Monday Night Football still doing well. Yeah, believe it or not.
Well, it probably came back because, you know, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are on there now.
Yeah.
So maybe.
It's on ESPN now. Yeah. Or was on ESPN.
It is on ESPN.
All right. 11.23 million. Number 3. Yellowstone. You heard about that show?
I have not watched that, but I've watched 1923. That is a fabulous show.
1923?
It's got Harrison Ford in it.
Ooh.
And it's out on, it's kind of like Yellowstone, but
is it?
Very, very good.
Yeah, who's that actor? Kevin Costner,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Well, Yellowstone from Paramount, 11.31 million. Number 2. How about this? Thursday Night Football, NFL Thursday Night.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. Fox NFL Thursday Night Football, Fox NFL Network, 15.4 million people
I thought that was in the verge of getting cut.
Thursday Night. Yeah. I can't believe that they're watching it on
Players
Thursday Night.
Players hate it.
What do you think is number one, Ed?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to be upset if my show is not in there. That'd be The Good Doctor.
What's The Good Doctor?
It's about an autistic...
Oh.
Hands down, best show I've ever watched.
Well, roll the
every
drum.
Year.
Are you rolling drums? I can't remember. There we go. I'm sorry, The Good Doctor is not in.
I want my money back.
NFL Sunday Night Football.
Oh, come on.
That's what it says. Sunday.
All right.
Sunday night, 18.14 million people. There you go. Wow. Football reigns supreme. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back Friday. Be safe out there and remember that freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
You're listening to the TAM Talk Radio Network.